Yeah. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire. Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleepers for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now, today, I got a very special guest on my show. Ladies and gentlemen, you're in for a treat, so take some notes. Okay, this man has worked with Waka Flocka Flame, Wale, Bone Thugs and Harmony, Jadakiss. Just got a plaque for working with the man, Riff Raff. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce C.L. McCoy. How you doing today, friend?
Man, I'm doing wonderful, man. I want to say thank you for having me on here, man. I really, truly appreciate this, brother. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem, man. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for blessing us with your talent, man. You know what I'm saying? It's good to see artists get rewarded in such a great way when it comes to, you know, handing them plaques and, you know, just giving them the credits they deserve, man. I mean, it's been so long that it's always the labels really taking the credit, but the artists getting the crumbs. You know what I'm saying? So I was watching it. Yeah, I was watching an interview earlier today, you know, because after the Grammys, you know, everybody was boasting it up how we came so far. And they was talking about how Little Richard, for example, you know, made a lot of classic hits and it got remade by the Beatles and Elvis. Oh, yeah, he ain't received nothing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad to see the future beyond those times, you know, getting rewarded accordingly, or at least getting to the stage where they need to be rewarded accordingly. So congratulations on you, my brother.
Great, and thank you so much once again, bro. I appreciate that so much, man.
No doubt, man. So I definitely want to just talk, let the people know a little bit about you and your journey and how you got to where you are today, you know. So, you know, let's talk about a little bit where you're from and how you've grown to love music.
Man, most definitely, man. I obviously, it's a long story, but I try to keep it short and sweet. You know what I mean?
So good. We got your time, brother.
For sure. I was born in Kansas, man. My pops, he was in the military, so you know, I was one of those military brats, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. So I moved around quite a little bit growing up, but my main home, where I really grew up, was Oklahoma City. You know what I mean, Oklahoma. So when I first, you know, started doing music in Oklahoma was literally like no studios. There was no venues, no radio stations. So it was like literally when people say, you know, start from the ground up, from the mud, literally I had to start from the mud. You know, we didn't have no sources of no type of musical anything. You know what I mean? So I got into music also from my father. You know, he was a great musician growing up. He played a keyboard. My uncle, they used to be in a band back in the day. My uncle used to play the guitar. Hell of a singer. I'm talking about vocals out this world. So the whole musical thing just it runs in our bloodstream, you know. So growing up, I always watched my dad and my uncle and even my older brother, Trey, you know what I mean? He's in R&B as well, and he's amazing, did an amazing thing as well, you know. So those guys kind of got me, you know, enjoying the journey of music and learning the music scene. And then when I got about, I started playing drums at the age of 8 years old, you know, got into that and band and stuff. My mom was like, yo, that racket is crazy. We've got to try to find something else. You know what I mean?
Right. That backup plan.
yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she didn't mind obviously because, you know, kept me, you know, doing something productive, but you know, in the house, just do all day. She was just like, ooh, I was getting on her nerves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But my dad, like I said, he was a keyboardist. You know, he plays the keys and he used to do production and stuff like that. So that really interests me. You know what I mean? Because I started getting more into the hip hop, learning more about the producers as like Manny Fresh from Cash Money and Swiss Beats and Rough Riders and Neptune, you know, Pharrell and Chad and them. Timbaland is my all time favorite. So just listening to like learning these producers and how they're making beats, even Jermaine Dupri back in the day, you know what I mean? When because Criss Cross was one of my favorite groups growing up, you know, my name's Chris, so I thought they were talking about me with Warm It Up, Chris, you know what I mean? That was my anthem, so
Warm It Up, Chris,
yeah, man, that was my anthem. I thought they was talking to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So I just learned a lot about producers and everything like that, and that's something that I was really interested in doing. So my dad, I think about either 13 or 14 years old. He actually sat me down one of the real reasons why he taught me how to do it is because I used to want my dad to make the beats for me for when I created my music and stuff. So my dad got kind of tired of like, you know what, son? I'm just going to show you how to sequence this bad boy so you can start creating your own way. Because I told him how to make the beats, and he just kind of, you know, did it for me because I didn't understand how to sequence and stuff beats at that time yet. So that's what really got me into making beats was my dad, you know what I mean, and stuff like that, and creating and learning how to engineer little stuff like that as well. So it came from there, man, and just kind of just was my love and calling since then, you know what I mean?
Nah, that's awesome, man. I feel the same way, brother. Like, I actually, because I'm a musician as well. You know, I rap in English and Spanish. I do some songwriting and executive producing as well. And, yeah, man, I started writing at the age of eight. You know, when you was playing the drums, I was writing songs.
I was about writing a little bit also at that time, a little bit. You know what I mean? I was trying to do my little raps. Like I said, Criss Cross was my group. So I wanted to be Mac Daddy, Daddy Mac. You know what I mean? Growing up. That was it.
Yeah, man. Nah, what's crazy? My first rap that I wrote, right? It wasn't even my song. It was Busta Rhymes' song, Wooha Got You All in Check, right? Hey. So what I did was I was just writing the words as he was saying it so I could learn the format of how to write a song. So even from the part where he's like, y'all, 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 I'm like, space, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, just trying to teach myself this format. And then it just kind of grew from there, got into some local rap battles, you know what I'm saying? Got on a few DJ mixtapes and started doing talent shows. Then finally, when I moved to Florida, I got a few songs on the radio, started doing some shows, you know, and then I wanted to do the acting thing. So then I came out here. So, you know what I mean? I feel you on just kind of starting from within, you know what I mean? But I ended up just evolving into other things, you know what I mean? But
yes, sir.
Now, yes, I definitely wanted to talk more about the networking side of things, to how you landed your first placement, you know, after you grew up, you started loving it, when did you actually want to take music seriously?
Great question, man. Of course, you know, when you're younger and everything like that, and you watch 106 in Park and you watch Rap City in the Basement, you think you're ready right then and there. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be next to Big Chick.
I damn sure thought I was.
You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to be next to Big Free. I'm like, yo, it's my time. You know what I mean? But it's not that easy, obviously. You know what I mean? Just to get up there and make that happen. So it's definitely a grind. You know what I mean? But I was actually blessed pretty early, man. I'm not going to lie to you. I was telling you about my big brother, Trey, earlier. Okay. He actually got his foot in the door. He's 5 years older than me, and he's in an R&B group called Meant to Be. And when they started, I mean, I actually got to watch him do his thing with the group, and he, you know, he put in the hard work of, you know, performing at the local shows, clubs, you know, hotels, whatever they had to do to get their name out there and print up their CDs and, you know, go to this conference there, go to that conference there and stuff like that. So I had a great blueprint for me. You know what I mean? To actually watch and learn, before I actually had to step out there and do my thing, you know. And I met a guy named Brandon Bird. He's from Washington, D.C. At the time, he was an intern for Arista Records. Or I don't know if it's Arista or Arista, one of the two. I can never know which.
It's both.
Which way to say it. But,
Arista.
Yeah. At the time, you know, they had Pink signed to them. You know, Clips was signed to them at the time. And, I can't remember exactly, but it had a nice lineup at the time.
Yeah,
that was dope. How we got our CD or my music to him was, I had a friend of mine who was in Cancun, and we used to make CDs back in the day. You know, that normal hustle. Me and my cousin, we was a little group back in the day called Rugged Individuals. And, you know what I'm saying? So we, you know what I mean, putting together your CD, going to Walmart, getting our little 100 cases, 100 CDs, get a little blank case,
You took me back, dog. Tell me you picked up the Sharpies. I know you picked up the Sharpies.
Come on, man. Then we eventually moved up and used the ink, and then till mama said, you better start buying that black ink, you ain't gonna be using it no more, you know what I mean? So, taking it to school, grinding them out, selling them for $3, $5, hey, sometimes giving them for free just to get our name out there, you know what I mean? Well, one of our buddies went to Cancun, and he actually ran into my guy Brandon. Before he knew, he was intern for Arista. You know, he was just chopping game. They just had, you know, conversation kind of like me and you, and it just came up. And then he was like, well, yo, I got a couple of homeboys from back in Oklahoma that's really nice. Just check them out. Hmm. Showed him the CD, man. And then Brandon loved it, man. You know what I mean? And then next thing you know, he hits us up. And remember, this is like obviously before the social media was popping. So there's no FaceTime and no Zooming like we doing right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
None of that stuff was popping. So it was really a phone call that y'all, man, speak to Chris. You know what I mean? It's like one of them deals. And he was a real deal Holyfield. You know, when people tell you, you know, they work for them or work for dad, this and that, you kind of like, man, whatever. But he was really interning for them. He was really doing his thing for the label. And he wanted me and my cousin to do some shows for him, open up for him, some big names. Our first show that we did was open up for Clips.
Okay.
Which was crazy. And this was in Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky at the time. We was only like 17 years old, man.
Yeah.
Got to do that, killed the show. Then he had a bigger show for us. Uh-huh. 50 Cent. Get Rich or Die Trying. Ooh. 50 Cent, though.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Rupp Arena in Kentucky. 20,000 crowd. And that was when we did that show. And we actually killed it, and the crowd was just screaming, going crazy. That's when I knew I wanted to do this full time, and this is what I had to do in life. So, yeah, man, that's when I started taking it serious. So I was about 17 years old, man.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. I love that story, man. I actually started taking it serious. I want to say at 16. That's when I was like, okay, look, I want to start performing and, you know, going to DJs and really participating in the grind. So, you know what I'm saying? That's when I started really wanting to, you know, pursue that endeavor. But then when I, when I first got my song on the radio, I was like, oh, shit. And I first saw my royalty check. I was like, okay, this can be a business. This is now making money doing this besides hand to hand. And that's mechanical royalties or whatever. So I'm like, okay. Well, shit, now let me orchestrate my publishing company and get all that set up. So when I put more music, now I got a formula where I release music digitally this way, pump the shit out of it till people start listening to it, and then the royalties come in that way. And I just started stepping and repeating all the way, you know. But then, if there's not a lot of demand in your music, then, you know, it shows in the money that you're receiving, right? So I have to diversify my attention, you know what I'm saying? So when did you receive your first check in music?
Man, my first check was my brother and them, they had a song. I don't know, do you remember Jordan Towers for World Star Hip Hop back in the day when Jordan
Absolutely.
Towers?
Absolutely, I watch him every day.
He used to do all the videos back in the day. He was the man, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He was the Hype Williams for the
World Star.
You know what I mean? For World Star and stuff like that. So my brother and them had this song at the time called Drinks on Me. And, okay, let me rewind a little bit. They started working with Baby Bash.
Okay.
And this when Baby Bash was Cyclone, you know what I mean? With, you know. Yeah.
Sugar, sugar, how you get so fly.
Sugar, all that. You know, this when Bash was fire. You know what I mean? Like, it was around his head. You know what I mean? So they did a deal with Bash where they met him in Vegas one time. He liked their music and he wanted to feature them on one of their tracks. Mm-hmm. Like my brother, there was a 4-part group, you know, meant to, like Jodeci, you know what I mean? Drew Hill, that type of vibe, really, really beautiful harmonies and stuff. So he wanted them on a song. Mm-hmm. Long story short, man, I came to the studio, was listening, and this is when I kind of was getting my production game up a little bit more. You know what I mean? I kind of was throwing the artistry away a little bit because, you know, I was getting frustrated about listening to me. But people was rocking with my beats real heavy. So I started focusing on that a lot more. The next, you know, Baby Bash was actually about to leave the room. He was actually about to leave the studio and do his thing. But then my brother was like, hey, Bash, before you go, man, can you check out my little brother beats real quick, man? He kind of dope. Doing the first beat, Bash was like, yo, he took his phone. I don't know if he was writing on phones at the time, but it was probably just a pen and a pad, actually. I don't think it was the phones yet, but pen and the pad, I was like, yo, I rock with this. You know what? Let's do something to this. You know what? Let's do this right now. I was like, You know what I'm saying? Like, like, hold on a second. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, Bass jumped on a joint, and it's called, it's actually on YouTube. If y'all, anytime you want to look it up, it's called Drinks on Me. It's meant to be M-E-A-N, number two, letter B, featuring Baby Bash, man. And that was the first song that I was able to produce with a mainstream major artist, you know what I mean? And it did really well, you know what I mean? And the song, for an independent artist like ourselves, it did really big. And, man, it was a blessing, you know what I mean? So that was my first musical placement with the, working with a major artist, and I thought I was somebody special, man. I thought I was on top of the world, but I learned there was a lot more work to do than that. You know what I mean? A lot more work.
And that's what's up, and that's exactly what I want to get to. You know, that was actually my next question. Is okay, you got this placement now. How do you capitalize on that momentum? Right, you know, now you got a song feature. So what was going through your mind as far as, okay, what do I need to do to let everybody know that I'm working with a major artist so more major artists could come work with me? What was that grind like?
Right. Well, that, like I said, man, at the time, man, especially being in Oklahoma, because we were still in Oklahoma City at this time as well. And like I said before, this is before the Thunder came, you know, to the city. And that's what really blew the city up, was when Oklahoma City Thunder came. Because before then, it was a black hole here. I mean, it was nothing musically. I mean, people could do music, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't like a Los Angeles or New York, Atlanta.
You still out there? You still in Oklahoma right now?
Still in Oklahoma City today. Yes, sir. Okay. I'm still in Oklahoma City today. You know what I mean? I moved around a lot though, but the reason why, my family's here, you know, I got kids and stuff like that. So I'm raising them. It's a beautiful environment to raise your children, you know what I mean? And real chill.
That's what's up.
Yeah, man. So basically, we had no social medias and stuff like that at the time, you know, to put it on Spotify and all that different things. So we had to do that true hustle grind. We called Jordan Towers, you know what I'm saying? And that's when Jordan Towers came and shot the video for us through on World Star Hip Hop. Cause you know, that's before World Star Hip Hop was, all they showed was negativity on there. You know what I mean? Everything on World Star Hip Hop is fights and people getting beat up and cheated on and stuff. It was really strictly just music then, you know what I mean? It wasn't all that extraness. And that was kind of, you know, the radio stations, obviously, stuff like that. But that's about as far as it went for me. Now, the big thing that happened for me was, honestly, what took me to another level was, I was working at Guitar Center during this time as well. You know what I mean? And for those who don't know what Guitar Center is, you know, it's a musical store. You know what I mean? We sell all musical equipment and things like that. So we have a team called Oklahoma City Thunder, right? And this is the first, I think 2008 when we first got Thunder. No, it was 2009, one of the two years. It's such a long ago now. It's crazy we had a team that long now. I'm working at Guitar Center, man. I'm 23 years old at this time. I'm still living at home with my moms. Got to get on my feet. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I can't invite no females over here. You know what I mean? I got to make sure mom in the back room and stuff real fast. Okay, now come on through now. Come on, come on, go. Come on, man. Too much. I know, I'm too grown for this. You know what I mean? My car's beat up. You know, I can barely drive to work and back. So I'm like, I got to do something with myself. I almost didn't want to go to work this day, bro. Like, literally, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to go to work. But something slapped me in my face. It was like, man, you remember you at your mom's crib. Get your ass up, man, so you can make some money so you can move out. I'm like, all right. So I get up, go to work, doing my thing, do my normal. Next thing you know, I'm at the counter, just counting some mic cables or something like that. I look up, and I see this 6'11", tall frame in a whole Texas Longhorn uniform. And he goes by the name of Kevin Durant.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm over here thinking to myself, like, because remember, this is KD before who, you know, this is young baby KD. This is not the KD we got now. So, you know what I mean? So his stature is not the Kevin Durant that we're looking at right now. We're still looking at a young baby, second year, you know what I mean? Because Seattle Supersonics came to us. It's just a young baby.
Pre-sniper.
Super pre-sniper. You know what I mean? It wasn't easy money snipe at this time. You know what I mean? It was a sniper. You know what I mean? Like you said. But it was still a major thing, you know, for him. And, you know, he came in, he had an MPC, sat it in front of me and was like, hey, man, how you doing today, bro? I was like, yo, man, you Kevin Durant. You know what I'm saying? What's up, bro? You know what I'm saying? Welcome to the city, baby. Yo, man, we're going to get a chip this year. What's up? Even though we won like 20 games that year, we was trash. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, man, what you doing in here, man? You know what I'm saying? He was like, man, on my downtime, I just like to do music. It's just something I like to do for fun. You know what I mean? I nothing serious. Just, I like to do music. It's fun for me. You know what I mean? I like to make beats and create and little stuff like that. So he was like, can you help me, you know, gather a few things to make a studio? I was like, my back of my, see, this is all I was thinking in the back of my mind. I'm about to have a fat commission check. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Maybe this check would get me out of my mom's crib. That's where I was thinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it went a little bit further than that. So as I showed him a few things, got him some equipment, he spent a nice little penny with me. Got him set up. Took a little picture with him, you know what I mean? Just for the iPhone, I had a little BlackBerry, you know, took a picture with him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Told my friends and family, like, yo, KD came in. I sold KD like $5,000-$6,000 worth of stuff, man. Dope.
Yeah.
Before he left, I was like, yo, I did the normal thing that we all do as musicians. Hey, KD, come here real quick, bro. Man, here's a little CD, man, that I be doing, man. You know what I'm saying? I just be producing at home. Nothing major, man. Check it out. Just tell me what you think. You know, have a great day, man. Have a great life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Enjoy being rich.
Right. You know what Thanks.
Saying? Man, bro. Next thing you know, a week later, I'm off work this day as well. I'm chilling at my partner's house. And you know when your job calls you on your off day?
Yeah.
Look at that phone, I'm like, dang.
Oh, man. Yep, we caught you on camera stealing boxes.
Something either happened. See, there's two things with guitar scenic. Like, a client can bring something back, and you lose your money from that commission. So I'm thinking somebody's either bringing something back that I sold them. So I'm like, dang, I'm losing money. Or they want me to come into work. It's one of the two. My boss called me. He was like, hey, you busy, McCoy? I was like, man, what time you want me to come in, man? What time? I'm ready. He said, no, nothing like that. I got somebody up here looking for you. I said, who, man? Was it the dude I sold the keyboard to? See, I knew he should have bought that keyboard. I told that man not to get that keyboard. You know what I'm saying? I told him not to get that one. He was like, nah, bro. Kevin Durant up here looking for you, bro. Like, he wants your phone number. He wants to call you. He's looking for you. I'm like, this is a joke. So I know this ain't no April Fool's now. I mean, this is September. You know what I mean?
Right.
Bam, KD was up there looking for me, bro. And he listened to my CD, loved it. And he called me and was like, yo, man, I love your music. I love what you did, man. And he was like, I'll pay you if you come through and just kind of help me set up my equipment and, you know, just show me a thing or two on the boards. I was like, what?
Hell yeah. Of course.
So after that, helped him out, sent me the address, went to his crib, crazy, never been in a house like this in my life. You know what I'm saying? And it's just crazy. So I helped him set up the equipment. And like at Guitar Center, have a nice life, man. Appreciate you, bro. This is all set up for you, man. Hey, kill it this season, y'all. I'm gonna be watching you every game. I love y'all, man. Represent. I thought I'm going home and it's done with. He paid me nice. I'm moving out my mama's house now. You know what I'm saying?
I'm good now.
He gave me nice little lumps. I can move out mom's crib.
Right.
Went further than that, man. A few days later, he calls me again. Hey, Steve, what you doing, man? Like, this KD? Like, yeah, what you doing? You want to come through the crib? You know what I'm saying? Got some chef over here cooking. You know what I mean? Get on the game a little bit. Make some beats. I'm like, what?
That's lit.
Bro, and that's how me and him became, you know, real close friends. You know, I never asked him for anything. I never asked him for a penny, even though I know he had it. And he saw that in me. He saw that I was a genuine, humble dude. And for me being just going over there being his friend, because that's what he wanted. You know what I mean? He's new to the city. Then, you know, you can't trust too many people. You know what I mean? Now, even not rich or famous, you can't trust nobody nowadays to let your home and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So for him to trust me and have that, you know, that feeling about me, you know, I just wanted to be a friend to him. And being his friend, man, he got me Wale. I got Bun B. I work with Nipsey Hussle. I work with Trina. You know what I'm saying? I worked with some of the best in this industry that you can say. And I'm still independent to this day. Still independent to this day.
Woo! You know what I mean? Still independent. Give it up for independence. I love it.
Still independent to this day, man. You know what I'm saying? All my accolades and rewards and awards that I've gotten, bro, has literally been a blessing from God, man. And I was able to make these moves on my own. You know, of course, I'm not saying on my own, like I didn't have help. Of course you have help, but as in like no labels, no management, no publicists, none of that. I literally grinded on my own, man, and put in the hard work. And cause like KD said, bro, he said, these artists are not going to just work with you because I'm Kevin Durant.
Right.
They can work with anybody in this world if they wanted to. Right. They really like your music. You know what I'm saying? They like your beats. They like your production. They like you. Or they wouldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? They're not doing this for a favor. You know what I mean? This is not a favor for them. This is because you got talent. Because at first I was just like, man, maybe they just doing this because you're kept. No, he's like, nah, bro. Nah. They're not. If that's the case, they be doing songs with everybody and their mama all the time for favors and their friends and shit. You know what I'm saying? It don't work like that. So. And it just grew from there, man. I just, you know, and I just, you know, I mean, it just grew from there, you know.
Now, that's awesome, man. And that's a wonderful story, man. Shout out to Kevin Durant, man. I know he ain't in Oklahoma City, but he's doing his thing in Brooklyn. They got a nice little squad over there. So I'm definitely watching. I'm looking forward to seeing them on the Lakers team. Huh?
Blake Griffin from Oklahoma. So he represents for us now.
I love Blake Griffin, man. He's a beast on that court, man. Very dominant. I love that, man. You know what I'm saying?
And if he can stay healthy, man. Woo.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That health is serious, man. I feel you on that whole becoming someone's friend, because I noticed when I came to LA, I was trying to figure out, like, damn, like, how am I going to really network with these people and tell them something that they haven't heard before already? You know what I'm saying? And then I noticed that people take a liking to me because I come off like, you know, on some homeboy shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to be cool. I'll let you know what I got going on, but I ain't asking for favors. I'm going to do my thing regardless. But at the same time, it's like when I get around these celebrities, I notice everybody around them has their hand out. You know what I'm saying? Like always trying to get them to do something. They getting pulled so many different ways where I just come in like, yo, what's good? How you doing today? What's popping? Can I help you with anything? You know what I'm saying? Man. And it just-
I'm not gonna lie, my mama did the same. They tried, it's like, ask Katie for some money and shit. I'm like, no, trust me. Trust me on this. You don't jump in the game like that.
No. I mean, shit, I wouldn't even ask him ever, you know what I'm saying? You gotta let that come organically, but what you can do is add value. You know what I'm saying? You add value to him and he just appreciates you that much more. And that's exactly what you did. You know, he needed the studio, you had the knowledge for it, and then the situation just kind of grew organically. Look, and then it opened the door to Nipsey, rest in peace. It opened the door to Bun B, Wale, whatever. And all from being somebody's friend, you know, and I can't highlight that enough where people just solely want things from people, but they just try to skip over the friend thing and they try to befriend people to get something out of them. And I don't think that's cool. You know what I'm saying? Because the truth always comes to the light and you pretty much just wasted time once they pull your card. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
yeah, man.
Genuine.
Yeah. People. Because if he could give me, I'm just going to throw a number out there. He could give me 50 racks.
Right.
And the things that I've done, you know what I'm saying, and the moves that I made and the people I was able to work with was beyond money, beyond some 50 racks or so like that. You know what I mean? I got to work with legends and, you know, be in the studio with top-notch guys and put me on tours and different things out of, like, you know what I mean? Like, just talent and you know what I mean? And that made me so much more than any couple of dollars you could have gave me and just say, okay, man, do your thing. Half the time, people understand features. A couple of nice features of the people I worked with would have been $50,000 to $100,000 itself. You know what I mean? But I did have my people like, yo, why don't you ask Katie for a couple hundred thousand? Or, you know, get a boo boo boo. Even my mom was talking, why don't you get some? Katie, give me some money. Go ahead, ask Katie. Like, moms, trust me. trust me on this. Let me, I felt it. I felt the friendship with it. It wasn't on business. We was really friends. You know what I'm saying? We still friends to this day. But I just felt that friendship was genuine. You know what I mean? And he enjoyed me just being able to come over to his house and be a friend to him. Just get on the game, talk shit and talk sports, talk this or that. It wasn't no, you know, nothing else. You know what I mean? Hey, KD, man, you should, you know, your arch should be a little bit smoother on that freak dog. You know what I mean? Just messing with him and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And, but he saw the talent in me. He saw, like I said, the humbleness in me and that's what made him want to help me out so much. And when James Harden came to the Thunder, that's when my career really elevated even more. So yeah, it was crazy.
That's what's up, man. Hell yeah. Good job, man. Congratulations on that, man. I'm happy for you, dog. That's an amazing story, man. The story's still being written, which is even much more greater, man. So speaking of that, let's talk about this plaque, man. You got the plaque for working with Riff Raff. Congratulations on that. What I want to know, how did that session even come about? Because Riff Raff, from the outside looking in, he looked like a crazy, wild motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So tell me how that went.
It's a wild story, man. Honestly, man, how I got to work with Riff Raff because, so I went to school in Arizona with this one guy named DJ Afterthought. DJ Afterthought, he's from Pittsburgh. He was Mac Miller's DJ and stuff like that before he passed away. Mm-hmm. One time, Riff Raff had a show in Pittsburgh or whatever, and he was looking for a hair braid, somebody to braid his hair. And my boy Afterthought, he was actually DJing that show that night. Mm. So basically, you know, and he also works with Taylor Gang a lot as well. He works in the Taylor Gang offices, the studios and stuff. So he was really tied in there with Pittsburgh, really heavy.
Right.
So basically, like, you know, Afterthought was a guy there and stuff. He kind of was like, yo, I know somebody that can, you know, that whip you up real quick. You know what I'm saying? I know a couple people. So Raff was like, yeah, let's get it, make it happen. Basically, I might be telling it a little wrong, but I know that Raph didn't actually, I think his DJ was sick or something crazy where his DJ was late or sick or something of that nature. So Afterthought filled in for him. He killed the show for him. Mm. After that, he made Afterthought his DJ. Mm. After that, after a while, he made Afterthought his manager. Mm. So he was like his manager and his DJ. So on the on these records and stuff, when they started working on these records, DJ Afterthought was like, you know, co-producer and things like that, these albums, me being Afterthought's friend and the things that I was doing at the time. He hit me up, was like, yo, see, send some beats to him, man. You know what I mean? I got a couple records with Riff Raff, you know what I mean, that we working on, you know what I'm saying, blah, blah, blah. Sent them his way. Raff loved them. Next you know, man, you know, put the album out. Go number 29 on the Billboard, man. Mm-hmm. Hip hop and R&B charts. Get a plaque coming, you know what I mean? And it was so crazy about it, honestly, because the album is actually an old album. Mm-hmm. What happened was Riff Raff and DJ Afterthought fell out. They fell out. So Afterthought didn't know about the plaques and stuff that he was supposed to be getting until Billboard wrote him, was saying, like, dude, are you going to pick this shit up or not? You gonna pick up the plaques or not, bro? What you doing? And Afterthought's like, bro, I didn't even know I had any. You know what I'm saying? So obviously, when you're part of the project, I produce maybe like 3 or 4 records on there. I get one as well. So I actually get 2 Billboard plaques coming for 2 albums that we did with him and stuff. So this is amazing feeling, man. It's really crazy. And I also got a couple plaques on, you know, over 1 million streams from Spotify and stuff like that. So, you know, some records and things. So I'm trying to fill a little wall up, man. I'm trying to fill a wall up one of these days, man. You know what I'm saying? So I actually don't have the plaque is supposed to be coming from today that we're talking, you know, should be here about 5 to 7 weeks. You know, they have to make it and everything like that and send it our way, man. And it's kind of a weird feeling to know that I'm a Billboard producer. You know what I mean? Like, it just registers really weird. It registers. When it's in my hands and I hang it up in my mom's house, It's just a beautiful feeling, man. But yeah, so that's how I got that Billboard plaque coming, man. It's crazy. Right.
Congratulations, man. I'm so happy for you. I know the future is going to bring you so many greater things, man. So let me ask you, I mean, do you find yourself ever like leaving Oklahoma City and going to a more of a major city to, you know, broaden your horizons? Because I noticed when I was living in Tampa, Florida, I was getting a lot of local fame, had a few songs on the local radio stations and did some shows here and there. But I noticed, you know, for as big as my mind is, it was too big for the city I was in. So I had to move to kind of grow. So I came to LA and, you know, I hit the ground running and, you know, did a lot of great things since I've been here. So I'm just asking you, do you ever see yourself, you know, transitioning?
Well, that's a great question actually, man, because the thing about it with Oklahoma is it's cheap. It's one of the cheapest states that you can live in. So like, for what you pay for in Los Angeles, just say a $3 million house in LA will probably just be $300,000 in Oklahoma.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Everything is cheaper. Everything is easier. Before I had my children and stuff like that, my daughter and everything, mm-hmm. I was traveling all the time. I never was home though. You know what I mean? I was always in LA. I always was in New York. I always was in Atlanta. You know, I was in Texas, wherever I was. And I came back home to Oklahoma to rest my head. You know what I mean? Because like I said, it's just a cheap state. This is where all my family is. Everybody's here. And then when I have my, you know saying, when I have my daughter and stuff like that, that's when, you know, I really didn't want to move and stuff like that officially. Because I thought about it many times, but I didn't want to officially move. Because like, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, this is where I'm raising my daughter. All my family's here, and it's just a cheap place, man. Like I'm saving so much money, like Geico. You know what I mean? Being Oklahoma, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like for real. Like I got a really nice establishment place that would probably cost four times the amount in a Los Angeles area. Because I can, my connects now, I can move and move around when I need to. You know what I mean? I don't have to officially be in Los
Angeles. In one place,
to make things happen, especially nowadays, you know what I mean? Like how me and you communicate and stuff, you know what I mean? And just sending files through email and things like this. It's so different now, you know what I mean? It's so different. But that's one of the main reasons why I'm here. It's not because of, you know, any other thing. It's pretty much just raising a family here. It's just a cheaper place. I know everybody named Mama here. I am Kevin Durant here now. I'm the guy here. You know what I mean? I'm the Diddy of my city now. You know what I mean? When I walk somewhere, they know me. I get free lunch, dinners, clubs, walk in for free. I got to start all the way over if I go somewhere else. I ain't trying to do all that. I'm living like a king out here. You feel me? So,
nah, that's what's up, man. Good. Well, you come wherever you go, you know, your credits follow. You know what I'm saying?
They do follow. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They do follow. That's very true for sure.
Yeah. So if you came to a place like LA, you know, I think you would hit the ground running, you know, because you got the credits, man. And right here, credits is that's what it's all about.
It is. I used to work with I used to work with a guy out there in LA. You know, I worked with a lot of people, like I said, all around, man. Different producers and artists and stuff. And I know people everywhere. That's the other thing. You know, I met so many people during this musical journey that, like I said, if I needed to get to LA and sit down for a month, I can go, you know, I can go out there and do my work, get down and dirty and come back home. You know what I mean? And stuff like that. So, but maybe when my daughter get a little older and she wants to move or something and, you know, we could teleport back and forth. I'll think about it. I'll see what happens. I'll see what's happening.
And how many kids you have? You have two children, you said?
I got one daughter, but I take care of, you know, a lot. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's a lot of, you know, a lot of children and stuff that look up to me and I, you know what I mean? I do my thing and hand in love, but I got one biological daughter.
Got it. No, the reason why I asked is because, you know, I wonder, you know, with the grind that we had to undergo as musicians or artists and stuff like that, and the ups and downs and the pitfalls and the snakes and cobras, they're all within it.
Right.
If your daughter wanted to be get into the music industry, would you is that something you would condone, being you know the road that lies ahead and the work and everything?
Great question too, man. My daughter already has the entertainment in her bones, man. Like, she's already so energetic, loves to sing, loves to dance. She's in gymnastics now, so she flips every 5 seconds. She's just always cartwheeling it, doing the splits, and I'm about to break her face open every single day. So she loves fashion. Like, my daughter can literally like cut some socks out and put it on her Barbie and make like an outfit out of it and stuff. It's like really, really amazing. Like, it sounds crazy, but if you saw how she do it, you'd be looking at her like, she's 6 years old. So you're looking at her like, wow, the creative, you know, she's creative. And obviously the kids with the YouTube and TikTok and all that stuff like that, she loves it.
Yeah.
Would I want her in this business, to answer your question? If she went the, I don't know, man, because I see how Disney kids turn too. You know what I'm saying? I see how some of them. I just seen some of them Disney kids to turn too, man.
Yeah, I done heard the story. Like, where are they now? You find out, you know, what happened.
Some child stars, man. Sometimes they don't have it all the way, man. But I think since I understand the game and been in it, and if she has somebody like me behind her, I won't be so bad about it. I didn't have nobody behind me, you know what I mean? Because I had to kind of learn the ropes on my own. You know, I have my big brother and stuff, but he was already up and running doing this thing, you know what I'm saying? But I wouldn't mind, you know what I mean? If this is a profession that she wants to do, you know, and something like that, you know, launching, talking about doing the OnlyFans pages and stuff like that, I'm good to go.
Hey, that's a fact. I'm good to go. We don't want that. That's where I'm going to be strict on, you know what I'm saying, on that level. Fuck yeah, hell yeah, shit is crazy. I mean, it's mind-boggling what they're doing with that OnlyFans. And what people don't know, OnlyFans isn't just for freaks, you know. It's just, you know, that's what's glorified, because, you know, the amount of money that's coming in so quick. But yeah, there's some, you know, a lot of college instructors on OnlyFans. It's for anybody that has a fan for anything. You know, it's not necessarily just about that. But either way, that's a whole nother conversation, right, man. But that's what's up, man. Yeah, and I always ask people that have children that's in the game, because, you know, we're basically paving the way for them, and we're learning as we go. And there's just so much that we still don't know, but we're still going, still trying. And next thing you know, 10, 20 years don't went by. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, exactly, you know, do you want your heir to your throne going through that? But I guess, you know, us kind of paving the way for them, they don't have to start from back there. They can start from where we're at.
Right. You know what I mean? Don't have to, you know, my daughter, she won't have to worry about all that craziness to get to that next level, you know, because dad's going to hold it down, make sure she's good. And what's honestly, man, I already have my daughter. She's already like, I put her as a CEO of my company already.
There you go.
So she's always executive producer to my albums or anything I put out, so she gets royalty checks now.
There you go. So, hell yeah. Let me ask you, is she an authorized user on your credit card yet?
I'll put it to you like this, man. Wherever she wants, she gets. So you may as well say it. You may as well say she is already. You know what I mean?
Just make it sure, man, because that's definitely key, you know, when it comes to building that credit for them early. You know what I'm saying?
That's facts. And what's real, that's very true, because that's kind of how my mom's established credit for me. And my pops, I got a little loan out for me to buy my equipment when I was younger. You know, just a little cheap loan, $500, $750, and pay that bad boy back.
Mm-hmm.
Once I paid it off, got me another loan. Same thing. So exactly what you said, facts. And I'm definitely going to do that with my daughter for sure. Definitely.
Fuck yeah, man. That's what's up, man. Well, my last piece of advice, man. I do this with every guest on the show, man. I need you to give me some key advice that you can give to an up-and-coming artist, you know, up-and-coming producer, somebody looking to get into this music game, knowing everything that you know now, you know, what advice can you give to somebody, no matter what age, that says, okay, today I choose to take music seriously? What do I have to do? You know, what advice can you give that person?
Well, there's a couple steps I would say. For one, patience. Patience, 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 because there's so many of us that want to do this. You know what I mean? There's a million producers, there's a million of millions of artists, millions of DJs, and we're all trying to get to that door. You know what I mean? Everybody's crowding that door, waiting to, it's like a buffet line. You're just waiting, like, you know what I'm saying? When, okay, so you're just chilling, you know what I'm saying? Patience, man, because you just never know when your time is. You know what I mean? I did not know waking up this day that I was going to run into Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? I quit multiple times before this situation happened. You know what I mean? Like, you know how I give up on music. This, man, music sucks. I hate it. I'm done with it. I'm finished. The next, you know, a week later, hey, man, y'all trying to do some music, man. Y'all trying to make some, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's part of the game. You know what I mean? So I quit so many times, and then I just happened to just keep going and keep going. And then next thing you know, I ran into somebody, not even a musician at that, not even a musician or somebody who had any type of musical background and talent. I ran into a basketball player, you know what I mean? That helped me create my career. So patience, man, is a big key with anything, honestly, you know what I mean? It not just goes with music, it just goes with anything in life. You be patient for it and it can come to you. It will happen for you. You just never know. Another thing I would say is learn a business. Man, gotta learn a business. You don't learn a business, oh my gosh.
You're gonna be in trouble. The business gonna show you a little thing or two.
You're gonna be in trouble. The talent, the music part, you got it, cool. But you can be having the best talent in the world and be spend a million times a day and all this good stuff, and you might not even be getting paid for it because your paperwork wasn't right. You know, just little stuff like that, you know what I mean, that you just have to learn. Learn the business is another big key to this game, man. And my last, network, shake hands. Don't be scared to meet somebody. Shake some hands. They might tell you no, but that's okay. Keep going. Meet the next man. Don't feel like, you know, someone's gonna, just because they look like they might be on this level or that level, that they won't respond to you. There's so many people who I wrote just hitting up and stuff that I was like, they're not gonna write me back.
Yeah.
2 months later, I get a DM back like, yo, what's up, son? I read your bio, man. You're pretty nice. You're like, damn, 2 months later, but you hit me back.
Right.
So you just got to, you know, say, but networking, you know what I mean? You just, so patience, business, and network. And I feel like those three keys right there, you'll be okay.
You hit the nail right on the head, man. You know what I'm saying? I definitely can attest to all of that being very accurate. You know what I mean? So let the people know where they could follow you, you know, where they could reach out and listen to your beats or, you know, acquire some of your services. You know what I mean? What let the people know?
Yes, sir. So I have a website. It's visionarymusic.com. And that's visionary with a Z. So it's visionarymusic.com. And on there, basically, it'll take you through everything that you need to know. I have EP deals that we can do together, beats on there that you can listen to for production. If you need mixing or mastering, you can get that. We do marketing and advertisement. We also do distribution. When I say distribution, we can get you through Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, all the major platforms to get you stream your music or get your music bought. We do all of that on that website. So that's visionarymusic.com, visionary music.com. And if you want to link up with me, I usually use Instagram the most. My Instagram page is at Leron Vision. That's L-E-R-O-N as in Nancy, V-I-Z-I-O-N, Leron Vision. And you can catch me on there, man. Good page. You see me working with a lot of people on there, from Wale's and the Kevin Durant's and all the big people that we was talking about. You know what I mean? It's dope. Some of the shows I've done, Bone Thugs of Harmony. It's beautiful, man. Like I said, God has definitely blessed me, man. I'm just here, just humble and happy, man, and just trying to do the best I can for my daughter, man. You know, making her smile. That's the reason why I'm here, man.
That's what's up, man. Well, congrats on all your success, my brother. And like I said, let God see you the rest of the way, because He's already blessing you, man. You're already blessed. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of the show today. I appreciate you, and I look forward to definitely working with you, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
we definitely got to connect, my guy. Please do. Let's definitely work.
For sure. Yeah, after this, you know, we'll chop it up a little bit. Let me wrap it up. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas, CL McCoy. Make sure you check him out. Get some of his beats. Stream his music. He's trying to feed his daughter. Let's get him. Let's get him to L.A., baby. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you like and subscribe to the channel. Make sure you copy some of this merch. Stay tuned for more episodes to come. Thank you for watching. Appreciate you, King.
Yeah. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire.